All right. Got a young man with us this morning. He's been preached here before in the church, but he's been faithful to come on Wednesday night, him and his brother, another young man. When we have our ministries nights and preach to the young people, and just to be out there with them, and we've come to appreciate him very much, and have been blessed by him several times. And it's Youth Sunday. And what a great thing on a Youth Sunday to get to hear a young man come and proclaim the Word of God. Amen. I tell you what, you're finding fewer and fewer young men willing to surrender to the call of God. And I appreciate each and every one of them. I appreciate all the young people in this church. And you all know that they might be your kids, but they're my kids too. And you might love them, but I do too. I think they're each one special in their own right, in their own way. And we just love young people. And we love young men who love to preach. So Brother Jesse Hanks, you come this morning and preach what God's laid on your heart. You probably want to kill the monitors now because it'll drive him crazy. They get you mic'd up.
Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 4. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jesse Hanks. I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, where my dad's the pastor. And I'm going to give a quick testimony about, you know, how I got saved and how I got called to be a preacher. You know, I was raised in church my whole life. My dad was saved in 1997, and then he met my mom, and they got married, and they had me. And my grandfather was the pastor. It was never really... I was at a Bible camp, and, you know, I felt that conviction. I felt God telling me, you know, you're not saved. If you died right now, you would not be in heaven. And, you know, I had prayed that prayer before. You know, I came up to the altar, and I said, you know, Lord, please save me. But it was never for, I never really wanted Jesus in my heart. I never really accepted him. It was just because that's what you're supposed to do. And, you know, I always wanted to be a good kid. I always wanted to please my parents and all. But I never accepted Jesus. And, you know, as I got older and got into, you know, middle school and early high school, I was just, you know, I started to become a bad kid, and I was doing what I wanted to. And, you know, as soon as I graduated, my plans were to, you know, join the military and just live how I wanted to. You know, I wouldn't have to go to church no more. My parents weren't going to have control of me anymore. And God changed all that, you know. When I got saved, it was 2 years ago at Bible camp, and God was just convicting me, and I was like, I've been saved before, you know. I've came up and I've asked God to save me before. That's, you know, I kept telling myself that, but God was saying, no, you have not. I mean, you came up and prayed, but you never made it real. And they did an altar call, and many people were coming up, and they were praying, and I was like, I am not going up there to pray. I am not going up there, because I know as soon as I get up to that altar, I'm going to start praying, and I'm going to make it real. Well, I was sitting next to my cousin, and he had tapped on my shoulder, and he said, will you come up and pray with me? And I kind of looked at him like, no, I don't. But, you know, I got up, and we went up, and little did I know, he was getting saved at the same time that I was getting saved. And we both ended up getting saved that night, and the very next, and it's a Christian school, and the whole theme of the week was, Hear My Lord. And I prayed, and I told God, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but just make it clear to me. And I already started to feel the call, you know, to be a preacher then, but, you know, I didn't give into it right away. I wanted to pray about it. I wanted to make it sure. And also, I really didn't want to be a preacher, you know. It's stepping up in front of people. It's not like something people want to grow up and do, you know. They don't want to get in front of people. I didn't want that. So I wanted to make sure it was actually, it was God calling me and not just my emotions and getting caught up in it. So I prayed about it for a few months, and at camp, God made it clear to me again. A young preacher actually was preaching a devotion after the night service, and he was talking about Jesus is knocking. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, a salvation message. He was talking about what are you keeping Jesus from doing in your life? Are you keeping him out in certain areas? And I realized that he was, and that God was calling me to be a preacher, and I accepted the call that night. And you know, and I honestly didn't think I was going to have opportunities to preach. You know, I was like, I might preach in my church every so often. You know, I never really thought there was going to be opportunities for me. And And I've probably preached over like 30 or 40 times now, and it's been less, it hasn't even been a year yet that I've been called to be a preacher. I've preached here for the youth night. I go to school where Pastor Jason McNeese is the pastor there, so he lets me preach chapel services and different things, and I preach in my church. So I've had so many opportunities, and I'm thankful for all the opportunities Brother Dennis has given me for the youth nights and for preaching here. And I'm just so thankful to see what God's doing in my life and, you know, where it's going to go next. But we're going to start here in Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 20. Today I'm going to be preaching on the flesh. And the flesh is a very dangerous thing that we all have to live with. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, we try to do right. We try to do what we can for God, but the flesh is always there, and it's always our sin nature. It's always our human nature to do wrong, and it's something we're always going to struggle with. So today I'm going to be preaching on the flesh. And bad things about it and good things about it and things to fight the flesh. So in verse number 20 of Proverbs chapter number 4, it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So the first thing I'm going to talk about are your ears. In verse number 20, it says, "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." The ears are very dangerous. Many people don't think about it, but your music that you're listening to and different things that you're listening to and maybe the people you're hanging out with, what they're saying, what they're doing, you're sucking it in all through your ears. You know, and it says here, "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." So, you know, you need to be listening to the things of God or listening to preaching and listening to the music of God, and you can absorb what you need to be hearing from God. You know, when you're listening to that worldly music or different music, you know, whatever it is, you might think, well, this is, I mean, I'm not really listening, I'm just listening to, it feels good, you know, it's a good beat, it's a good song, whatever, you like to listen to it. But whether you realize it or not, there's words and there's things in that song that you're sucking in, that you're taking from that's going to change your character or give you a bad spirit. It's the same thing for the music of God. You know, they don't just start out the church service and put the preacher right up and get to the things that you need to hear. They give you the music of God, and you sing, and you just get a good spirit about you, so you're ready and willing to hear what is going to be said. And also, you need to be listening to God when he's trying to speak to you in your life, when he's telling you to make different steps of faith or whatever. He's going to be speaking to you, and it's not necessarily your physical ear, but you're going to be listening to him, and you know when it's him, when he's telling you to do something. Real quickly, please turn with me to Revelation chapter number 2. Hold your place in Proverbs 4. But Revelation chapter number 2 and verse 29. I'm going to read there in a second. Hold on. I need a drink. Revelation 2:29. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, move down to the next chapter, verse number 6. Revelation 3:6. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Move down to verse number 13. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Move down to verse number 22. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He repeats the same words four times. And I don't know how it is for you guys, but when God comes to me and he tells me something, you know, this is what you need to do, especially if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to accept what he has for me to do on the first time. You know, he's going to have to keep coming back and keep convicting me. You know, you say, why did he say it four times in that, you know, within a chapter? It's because us human, our flesh, we're stubborn. We don't want to accept what he's telling us to do on our first time. You know, he has to keep repeating it. You know, do this, do this. You know, when you got saved, you can probably remember the conviction that you felt. You know, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. And it just kept on knocking and knocking and knocking. And he repeats himself. And I'm going to turn to Psalms 116 really quick. You don't have to turn there. But Psalms 116, you know, and I'm going to show you a reason, you know, not only should we just listen to God because he's God, but we should listen to God because he listens to us. We shouldn't just give an ear to him give an ear to him because he gives ear to us. In Psalms 116, verses 1 and 2, it says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You know, God listens to us, so we should listen to him. You know, he hears your prayers about all the different problems and things in your life. So when he tells us to make a step of faith or to listen to preaching, whatever it is, we need to listen to him because he listens to us. My next point are your eyes. In Proverbs 4, chapter number 21, it says, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. And then in verse 25 of that same chapter, it says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Your eyes are a very a dangerous thing that you can, different things you can watch on TV or whatever things you can look at or read. It's very dangerous because that is you're literally like sucking it straight in. My questions are, you like what are you watching? You know, there's very little on TV these days that are good for your spirit or your flesh. But there's plenty out there that are not good for you. And in my school, we have a Bible class on Mondays, and the teacher was telling us about different brain waves that your brain goes into. And when you're on a screen for more than 29 seconds, it takes 29 seconds, your brain goes into something called alpha state, where you don't even realize it, but it's just kind of going. You know, have you ever been trying to, like, you had this list of things you want to do? You know, I want to get this done, and then you pull out your phone, you go on Facebook. And then you're on Facebook for like an hour and a half, and you're like, dude, that was an hour and a half, just went by, and I didn't even realize it. Or you turn on the TV, you turn on the news, and it's just, you know, and time goes by, and you're like, wow, I just wasted a whole lot of time, you didn't realize it. Your brain goes into an alpha state because of how much your eyes are on that screen. It just puts it into a mode where you don't even realize what you're doing. So you need to be careful what your eyes are on, and I have a question to ask you guys. Are your eyes on the Word? You know, are you staying in this? There's many distractions out there that your eyes can be distracted from, and are your eyes in the Word? Have you guys ever seen a horse and buggy going down the side of a road, and you're wondering, how is that horse going down the side of the road with all these cars going by left and right, and it's not even, like, it's not even looking over. It's staying on its path. It's going straight. Well, if you notice, once it gets all harnessed up and everything, it's got little blinders around its eyes. So all it can see is straight forward on what it's going on. And there's a lot of distractions in the world, but if we just get our Bible and make that our blinders, we won't be distracted by the different things, and we could stay going straight on what we're supposed to be doing. In Proverbs 3, verse 7, it says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now, you may think, you know, what I'm doing is okay. What I'm not necessarily doing anything wrong here, you know, but that's what you see in your own eyes. You know, that's what you think. But fear the Lord and depart from evil. You need to make sure what you're doing is wise in not only your eyes, but in God's eyes. You know, you might think this is okay, but if God clearly says that's not what you're supposed to be doing, you know, depart from it, depart from evil. where I'm going to go next, the next point is the heart. In verse number 23 of Proverbs 4, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The first question I have to ask you about your heart is Jesus in your heart? You know, you can try your best to fight off, you know, the world. You know, you can try your best to, you know, keep your eyes on the right things, listen to the right things. But if Jesus isn't in your heart is still going to be desperately wicked. You may be saved, you might have Jesus in your heart, but the question is your heart clean? You know, I've heard it like this before. I heard Jesse Craigle say it. I'm pretty sure you guys know about him. He's up there in Faith Baptist. Jesse Craigle, he said, it's kind of like a shower, you know. Once you go out and you go play sports or you do something all day, you work, and you get all dirty and you need a shower, then you become clean. No one wants to be around you until you get that shower. If you're all dirty and you're all smelly, you need to get that shower. Well, It's the same with your heart. You know, when you sin, it gets all dirty, and God doesn't want to come and be with you because you have sins on your heart that you haven't confessed yet. You need to clean up your heart and get it confessed to Him.
Sure.
And it says to keep your heart with all diligence. Your heart is very easy to become attracted or fall in love with something or like a sport or different hobbies, you know, and you might make that become more in your eyes or in your heart than what God is. And you have to keep it with all diligence because it's easy to let that get above your love for God, different things get above your love for God. I have a couple references about the heart I'm going to go to. Jeremiah chapter number 17. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But Jeremiah chapter number 17. verse number 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And I'm going to switch back and forth to different places. Matthew 15. Matthew 15:19, it says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." So we see here that the heart, you know, you might be able to keep your eyes and your ears right, or and other parts of your flesh, but the heart is where it all ends up. You know, when you're watching the wrong stuff. And when you're listening to the wrong stuff and you're doing the wrong stuff, it all ends up in your heart. Matthew 12:34 says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." So I'm going to just use this example really quick. It says to children, obey your parents in the Bible. It says, "Children, obey your parents," or "honor thy father and thy mother." And you know, you might think, you know, your parents might tell you, you know, go clean your room, and you don't necessarily say, "No, I'm not going to clean my room," or you might go clean your room, but if you do it with a bad attitude, you know, it shows what's really in your heart. You know, I know when I was little and stuff, my mom said, you know, "Come inside, it's time for nap time." And now I'm not going to complain about nap time, but back then, you know, when I was little, she said, "It's time for nap time," you know. I'm going to get all my hands. I want to go play. You know, I'm not saying out loud because I'm trying to be respectful, but it's in my heart. You know, in my heart, I'm saying, you know, I want to be outside playing, or I want to do this. I don't want to go clean my room. I want to go take a nap. But it's in your heart. And when you let that keep stirring up, eventually you're just going to say it. And that's not necessarily, I just used a small illustration about a child and their parents, but, you know, that could be anything. That could be someone keeps on saying something to you that you don't like, but you're not necessarily saying it back, or you're not you're not necessarily, you know, being mean to them back. You're being nice, but if you're mean in your heart, it's eventually going to come out. Like when you watch, say you're watching shows and they're saying cuss words or bad words on that show, and you watch it enough, and you're like, you know, I don't speak like that. I'm just watching the show. Well, it's going to get in your heart, and eventually you're going to speak like that way. If that's all you're letting in your heart, if that's all you're sucking in. And my last reference for the heart is Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 13. And it says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." So not only can you do bad with what your heart, with your heart and what you're doing with your heart, but you can do good with what your heart, with what's in your heart. You know, the more you read your Bible, the more you listen to preaching or to the music of God, you know, that's still going in your heart as well, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, the more good you get in your heart, the more good you'll say, the more happy you'll be. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You know, you don't realize how far a nice word to someone can go. You know, someone might be having a terrible day, but because you've been reading your Bible and you've got good in your heart, when you finally speak to someone and you have a cheerful countenance, you can cheer their countenance up as well. So moving on to my next point, which is the mouth, which is in Proverbs 4, verse 24. We'll go back to Proverbs 4. It says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips far from thee." Well, my question is, do you have perverse lips? Do you have a froward mouth? You know, it might not necessarily be, you might not go out and cuss someone out. You might not cuss all the time or curse at all, but you could still have a perverse lips and a froward mouth. You could still, you know, there's certain things you shouldn't say and you shouldn't talk about. For example, there's a small thing of gossip, you know. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Or did you hear what is going on in this person's life? You know, that's not necessarily, you know, you're not saying bad things, but should you necessarily be talking about that? And my question is, are you saying good things with your mouth? You know, are you going out and witnessing? You know, that is, God gave us mouths and God gave us his word. So, and it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't say that, you know, if you're called to preach, go and preach the gospel. Now, I'm not saying every single one of you in here should come up here and you know, preach a message. But I'm saying, you know, we can go tell what Jesus did for us. What he did in our hearts, it's so easy and so simple to explain to someone else. You know, the problem I see is a lot of times when people witness is that they try to do, you know, Genesis to Revelation as quick as they can and try to figure out and try to show that sinner, you know, what's in this Bible. But really, they don't have to go that deep into it. I mean, yes, you have to study, but you need to show that person what Jesus did in your life and what salvation is. A lot of times, I think people get scared off because you try to tell them, you shouldn't be wearing that, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be acting like that, when really, you just need to say what Jesus did for them, and you know that Jesus loves them, and that they can accept it. And you know, once Jesus gets in your heart, once again Jesus gets into their heart, he'll work on them with how they're living and how they're acting. That's not the job of us to do while we're witnessing. Real quickly in Proverbs 10, verse number 11, it says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." You know, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. You know, what do we get when you get salvation? You get life, eternal life. You know, and if you're a righteous person, if you're a righteous man, you can be witnessing and you can help people to where they can get salvation and they can get life. My final point is your feet. Proverbs 4, in verses number 26 and 27, it says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." my questions are, you know, are you on the straight and narrow path? You know, do you have your blinders up? Like, do you have your Bible out? Are you staying in this, or are you distracted by the world? You know, it's so easy to get off the path. You know, your feet go off the path of what you're supposed to be doing because of all these distractions from your ears and from your eyes and from your heart and your mouth. It's so easy to be distracted and get off the path. You know, it shows true strength of character for someone who's tempted and who's out there in the world every day and they stay on the straight and narrow and they stay faithful in church and they stay doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, it's hard to do, yes, but if you stay in the Word and if you keep your blinders up and keep the world as much as possible out of your heart, then you can keep going down the straight and narrow and you can keep running the race that you're supposed to be running for Jesus. The last verse that I'm going to take you to is Hebrews 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. This is for your feet. You know, you want to be on the straight and narrow, running your race as you're supposed to be running. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So the last thing I want to say is, you know, keep on the straight and narrow. Keep the things that aren't supposed to be in your ears out of your ears. Keep the things you're not supposed to be looking at away from your television set. And, you know, work on your heart with all diligence. You know, make sure it's good in your heart. You know, be careful what you're saying to people and make sure you stay on the straight and narrow. And look unto Jesus. You know, it's not easy. It's not something you can do alone. You need Jesus to help you. You know, it's very tough. You know, when you work out in the world and everyone out there is living the way they want to live, and you're trying to live a Christian life, you can't do that on your own. And that's why we have Jesus. That's why we got saved. You know, He can help us live through this life and to do what we're supposed to do. Sure. Stay in your Word and keep this in your heart as much as possible, and you'll be able to fight your flesh and live the way you're supposed to do.
I guess as we get a song of invitation, the question is this morning for each and every one of you, each and every individual, am I guarding everything that Brother Jesse's preached about this morning? Am I gauging what I'm hearing, protecting what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, what I'm saying, what I'm allowing to come from my heart? But most importantly, have I allowed Jesus into my heart? Because if you got Jesus in your heart and you allow Him to guide your steps, He'll take you to where you need to be. Let's stand this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Young people, how about you this morning? Are you guarding yourself, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, guarding your heart, guarding your steps? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus into your heart. Maybe you don't know that peace that Jesus brings, as Jesse testified about believing because he'd went to the altar, everything was all right, but knew that it wasn't. Maybe this morning you're here and you know that you're not saved, and you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm just kind of like Jesse. I've prayed that prayer, but I don't have peace in my heart. I know I'm not saved. And Pastor, I want you to remember me. Is there one this morning? Is there one by the raised hand this morning? Pastor, I know I'm not guarding myself. I'm not keeping myself pure as the Lord would have me to be. I'm listening to things. I'm looking at things. I'm saying things and doing things. I'm going places where I know I shouldn't be. And Pastor, this morning, I want you to pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me? I see that hand. I see that hand, another this morning. Pastor, pray for me. I've allowed things to get into my heart. Now my heart is so polluted with the world that it's hard for me to surrender and submit myself unto the things of God. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Is there another this morning that would slip their hand up? Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. Is there another this morning? Pastor, God's word has spoke to my, I see that hand. God's word has spoke to my heart and spoke to my life this morning. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. We're going to sing. The altar is open. If God spoke to you this morning, why don't you come? I'll pray for you. But why don't you come and kneel here at this old-fashioned altar and let God do business with you. Let Him clean up the things that the world has dirtied up. The Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Won't you let Him come and clean up what the world has polluted? Clean up what the devil has dirtied. He wants to this morning, and He'll do it for you if you'll come and you'll trust Him. What page we got, Sister Amber?
Page number 177.
177. Sing this morning. Will you come as we sing? Some have already come and went back to their seats. Will you come this morning?
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His service daily.
Have you surrendered?
I surrender.
Some things in your heart that need to be surrendered. Some things that you're dealing with that only Jesus can take care of, and you need to surrender. Amen. How about you this morning? All to Jesus I surrender. Have you surrendered it all to Him? Given Him your life? Given Him everything that you are? How about it? He wants to meet your need this morning. He wants to be the one that's most prominent, most prevalent in your life. How about it this morning?
Is it all surrender?
Is it all wholly His?
I surrender all.
God's doing business. He's doing business at the altar. He's doing business in the pews this morning. Have you surrendered everything? Oh, what a great time. What a great day it would be just to come and surrender everything to Jesus this morning. Let Him do what only He can do. You'll never make yourself good enough. You'll never be good enough. Praise God, He cleanses you. He forgives you. He makes you a new creature in Christ. He can do what no one in this world can do for you. How about it this morning?
I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to
that old hymn. I love that old hymn, because until we wholly surrender everything to Him, He can't do the work in us that He wants to do. Amen. Come back tonight. Now listen, it's very important. I need you to come back tonight. There's going to be a lot of folks missing from the service tonight. Amen. So I need you to come back tonight. Young people are going to be going to Porter's Grove. And Brother L's going to be here to preach. And, you know, the folks that got to go with the young people, because they're going, are going to be going. So we really need you to come back. How many can come back tonight? How many can come back? I'm not going to ask you how many can. Amen. Be a blessing to Brother L. How many of you will? Amen. How many of you are going to be under conviction because we pray about you? Amen. And I want you to keep Sister Tammy Evans in your prayer as well. She's lost her father, and her brother has been removed from life support, all within just a few days. And a lot of uncertainty there right now, what's happening with her brother. But just keep her and her family in your prayer, if you would. Just love her on a little bit and just let her know that you care and that you do understand what she's going through, and try to help her in this time. You know, she don't verbalize, she don't say a whole lot and everything, but we know it's hurting her on the inside. So you pray for her. Come back tonight. Brother L's got something for you. I know he'll sing for you. I know he's going to preach for you. Amen. He wants to be a blessing to you. Don't forget Brother Craig Edwards up at Mercy tomorrow night and Tuesday night. And if you've ever heard Brother Craig Edwards, you know what a blessing he is. And I tell you, he'll just stir your heart. If you've never heard Brother Craig Edwards, go hear him. Because once you hear him, you'll just walk away and say, wow. Yeah. Amen. It's been good to be in God's house this morning. Brother Jesse, thank you for that message. And we trust that you'll apply it to your heart and your life and let it do what God wants to do. Amen. Brother Ron Brooks, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Father, coming before you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word of God that was opened up today, Father. Father, that we may apply it to our hearts and our minds as we do today, Father. Father, there's many prayers that went up only from the altar, but out of the congregation, Father, I pray that you give us a prayer today, Father. I pray for conviction. Father, I ask that you just be with the people as they leave today, Father, and keep them safe as they go home, Father, convict them to come back and to worship you. On your name on high, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.